delay the time any longer here this morning. Amen. The year is moving on past. Have you noticed? Almost at the last quarter. Amen. Amen. And it's moving right along. Amen. Not to slip out of subject here, but we see when time is progressing on, we see the movement of God.
Amen.
And the things that God has promised also ticking right along. Amen.
Amen.
We can see things coming into play. Now, y'all know I sometimes looking into the prophetic things the Bible has spoken of, and I like to keep you aware of those, because right now I just heard this. This is just a point before we start with our reading today for our message. Do you know that in Israel, we told you they were preparing to build a temple that the Bible told us about already, and I saw an article online that the red heifer, which is a cow that
yep.
has to be there, which is according to Moses' law,
yep.
has been bred. And it's an odd kind of a thing, almost like red hair on people. You don't see it very often.
Yep.
It's an odd trait even with human beings. But in the animal kingdom, the red heifer is an unusual kind of a
That's
thing.
Right.
And they've been going for generations to breed the red heifer, which is necessary to make things right according to the book of Numbers, which have to be there in order for a temple to be sanctified in Israel. So the red heifer has been born. Now, and y'all say that probably sounds strange if you haven't been a studier of prophecy. But if you read the book of Numbers, Moses told them that the ashes of a red heifer, which we also mentioned in our study in the book of Hebrews, is necessary in order to consecrate the temple.
Right.
And so all these things are letting us know that what God has said in his word is absolutely
Amen.
True.
Amen.
We have no reason to
Amen.
Doubt it. And the people who are doing these things, we said this before a couple of messages back, are completely unaware of what they're doing. They're doing what they want to do.
Right.
But God already said what they were going to do. And people who are doing this are people who openly and overtly deny Jesus Christ. And it doesn't make any difference who they are. They're doing something that Jesus has completed. Those who trust Christ know that he is what God has required. He is the one
yes.
that God requires for
yes.
salvation. And it won't change to the end of the world.
Amen.
Because he said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come.
Amen.
He told his disciples to go and teach all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in that process.
Yeah.
But not all the nations believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
That he is the God incarnate
mm-hmm.
in the flesh, who came in to satisfy the judgment that we deserve
Amen.
By the sacrifice of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that, and just to make it easy for you, in case you don't understand any of that, I said you are invited to our Bible study
Amen.
On Tuesday. You can ask all the questions you want and get a mind full of understanding. We'll help show you in the Word everything that we're talking about. But just for your security, we want you to know that it's 2018 because Jesus Christ was born 2018 years ago, roughly. We'd say about 4 years, give or take time. But that was when he was born. It's been about 2,000 years. And the prophecy that God said concerning his second advent, he came the first time to deal with sin.
That's right.
He came to deal with your sin and mine. If
Amen.
You trust him, he came to pay your sin bill. That's the
Amen.
Purpose, just to put it in simple terms.
Amen.
He came into the world in order to take the debt and the penalty for all of our sin upon himself, and did that so that he could take it away, and he was the only one that satisfied God. The ashes of a red heifer never satisfied God.
No.
But God required it just because he wanted his people to think a certain way about him.
Right.
See, and that's what we study when we study some of the Old Testament things that were done in the past. We want to understand God was teaching his people to think differently
mm-hmm.
than other people in the world who didn't believe. See, and he was always blessing them so that the other people in the world would see the blessing on his people and say, well, these people are definitely different. We don't quite understand why.
Amen.
But that's what they're probably saying about you, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Bernice asking somebody in a bank about a loan, and they say, well, we don't know why we favor her, but for some reason we're going to put that through.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Arthelin a few weeks back told us something like that happened to her. Mm-hmm. We see it happening to God's people all the time. He gives favor to his people.
Mm-hmm.
See, he blesses you and people don't understand why are they being blessed.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they don't understand why am I blessing you. I don't even like you.
Right.
But I'm blessing you and I'm giving you favor and I'm allowing you to do stuff. You know, they don't understand it's the glory of God on you.
Amen.
And because God is giving you favor. It's not that we're better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's that God has given us faith to trust in Jesus Christ.
Yes, yeah.
And when we believe in him, his grace and his mercy is upon us. And then even the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, he already had his destination planned.
Mm-hmm.
And we plan vacations, we give a lot of thought to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we should be planning destinations. God says, I have a destination for my people.
Mm-hmm.
And if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Right.
He said, he told them over there. We're going to move on into our lesson today. I just saw that in the news and I wanted to make the announcement that the people who are against Christ are ready to build a temple, and the Bible tells us the Antichrist is going to go into that temple after he deceives the world into thinking that he is the Christ rather than the one who already came.
Right.
See, about which John said this, and this is a verse most of you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the good news that's been published in the Word. It's probably the most popular verse in all of Christendom in the Bible.
Yes.
People who don't even know God know John 3:16.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That God loved the world and he gave his Son. So that's simple. God doesn't want you to have to be a rocket scientist to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants you to know, I gave my Son. If you believe in him, I accept you.
Mm-hmm.
Your sins are forgiven. It's that simple.
Yeah,
you know, but people want it to be something so complicated that we can't, oh, I have to really study and be a philosopher to understand it. No, you don't. A little child, the youngest child in the room, you understand God loves you just like you are.
Yep.
He gave his Son for you. And he raised him from the dead to show you that even death, the worst problem we know about, has been fixed. I'm going to put it in common English. I done fixed it. I done fixed it. I got up out the grave. See, no one else has done that. That's why we boast on Jesus. But let's get into our lesson. We do have a good word from the Lord today. So if you are here, you probably got a sheet with this message that we're going to talk about today, overflowing grace. And we're going to take a reading from the Old Covenant from the book of Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading. You can read with me if you like. Joel, the prophet Joel, in chapter 2 in the Old Testament. And it reads like this. Read with me. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call, the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Remember that phrase.
Yes.
We read the Old Testament. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Now a few verses from the New Testament, Romans chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Let's read. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5,
Amen.
Chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I want to talk just for a few minutes on the subject of overflowing grace.
Mm-hmm.
Overflowing grace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is grace? Now, we have said, you've heard the word grace used. People use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Grace, I always like to use it as an acronym and say that it's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. In other words, unmerited favor. In other words, we don't deserve it. It's just the goodness of God that he gives to those who are in the world. You know what? God is showing grace even to people who don't believe in him.
That's right.
That's why he allows them to go on and do stuff like, say, we're going to build temples and we're going to have the ashes of the red heifer all prepared. We're going to do all that.
Yeah.
Even though he has already done what he plans to do for the salvation of mankind,
yeah.
God's already done that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He doesn't force anyone to believe.
No.
You know, he doesn't want to. It's funny because we can't believe if he doesn't draw us and call us.
That's right.
But he does not force us to come to him or believe in him.
Amen.
See? And so he gives every person, we would put it this way, we would say that we are free moral agents. You are a free agent. You can choose to trust God or you don't have to. It's up to you. Now, you know what? Our purpose as the church is to persuade you to trust God.
Yes.
Believe God because he loves you.
Yes.
He's given his son for you.
Yes.
He said, I've settled your whole sin debt. All you have to do is trust in my son.
Amen.
And believe that I raised him from the dead, which is proof mm-hmm. that he did the job correctly and properly, because no one else has been able to do that.
No one.
You see? And so we persuade people. That's what our purpose is as the church, is to go and teach.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go and teach all the nations. That means anybody, any person, no matter what. Now, it used to be people, salvation was connected to the Jews.
Yeah.
Because the Jews were a people that God separated out of the Gentiles for his own possession in order to give us his word, which includes his law.
Yep.
You know, and the law, basically, we're going to see that as we look at this text.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it lets us know that we are not righteous.
That's right.
We are not righteous. We have problems.
Right.
Y'all speak for yourself, preacher. Okay, I will. I got problems.
Yeah.
I got issues. You know what? Adam got one law from God. And everything was perfect. There was no imperfection anywhere. He had one law.
That's it.
He said, yo, you may freely eat. Actually, I guess that's a law too. You may freely eat of all the trees, everything you see here. That was something you can do. That was a grace. Go ahead and enjoy everything. But then God said, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat. For the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So that, and there had been no death. And he just told him, just that one tree there, leave that alone. And now you all know what happened. I don't have to tell y'all about this. This is elementary. This is Bible 101. Right? What happened? Eve, the devil came to the wife. Who was the weaker vessel. Not that then. When you hear weaker, man, don't go get happy and think that means that we're strong. Because weaker is a comparison. Something has to be weak, first of all, for something to be weaker.
That's right.
So that means men are weak and women are weaker.
Yes.
So don't go say, oh, we're all that in the bag of chips and women are weak. No, that's not it. We are weak and they are weaker.
Yes.
The comparative ER has to start with the word weak.
That's right.
Okay, in either case, the devil said, let me come to the weaker of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that is that God made woman to compliment man.
That's right.
See,
Amen.
We can't be the same. He had to make someone complimentary.
Yes.
Because there was no helper suitable for man.
Right.
So he fixed it up. I think he did a great job.
Yes,
I think he really did. You know, he fixed that up. He did it right. I got people who argue with you about that now, today, too. We're not going to go there. That's not in this lesson. But he had one law. The devil said, let me go to the weaker one and say, you know, did God really say that? His technique is to cast doubt on what God said.
Yes.
God didn't really mean that, did he? What you mean that tree there? Let's go right to that one tree he's talking about. The reason he don't want you to do it, now he starts giving you reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was before earth, wind, and fire.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to give you reasons why you should eat this tree. Well, you know what? He knows that when you do this, that's going to make you smart like him.
Yep.
You're going to be like him once you eat that tree. That's why he don't want you to eat it, but then you'll be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's a lie right off the top. We just read Genesis 1:26 this morning.
Hello.
And it said, God said when everything had been made perfect and after it was all done, he said, let us make man in our image.
Right.
In our likeness. You're already like him.
Already
like, why the devil going to tell you a lie? You're going to be like him.
That's a lie.
And you already are. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
That's right.
So, and she said, oh, that sounds good to me. You know, and she decided she'd try it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adam, he went on trying it out too. Y'all know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So one law made it where Adam fell into sin. And the responsibility was put on Adam, not Eve.
Yes.
The guys like to blame the women. It's not her fault. It's your fault. You did wrong.
Right.
See, it's because of the man when he did it, because you were the one given responsibility to not do that.
Amen.
She got tricked into doing it, then you just grabbed it and said, let me try that. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. Amen.
Took a big bite.
Right.
I think that's where Apple computer gets their little thing they want to stick up there. The big apple. But we don't know that it was an apple anyway. But let me just say, I digress. But I, just what I really want you to see is that with one law, Adam blew it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came the round time that God had given 10 laws,
yeah.
As y'all know, I've said, you probably heard this 100 times,
yeah.
That makes it 10 times easier for you to go to hell.
That's right.
Because now there's 10 things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you break one, what? You're guilty of the whole law. Y'all know I like to give this metaphor. I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all know it by heart.
Mm-hmm.
Write all 10 of them. Make pie slices on a mirror and put all 10 commandments all the way around there. Then take a hammer and try to break one. What's going to happen?
The whole mirror is
going to break it all. So because of that, transgression entered into the world.
Yes.
Transgression is the willful doing of wrong when you know it's wrong and you do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
And so this is what I want you to understand is that this one man who was made in the image of God was he had a tremendous blessing of God's grace on him all the way from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided by his free will to transgress God. That means knowing what's right, you did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So often this is the case with us. But I want to talk with you today about overflowing grace. And the reason that you can see it even from the beginning is that because God could have just said, okay, that's it, I'm wiping you out, and then he wouldn't have to deal with nobody but those two people. But you know what? His grace said, no, I love them because I made them. And it's not me. God never changed. He still loved Adam even when Adam had sinned. And y'all have heard some of this is review for a lot of you. But I want to make it plain because I want you to understand God's overflowing grace. He is filled with grace. Grace is unmerited favor.
Yes.
I'm going to bless you anyway. You know why? Because God wanted to bless man.
Right.
He wanted to. He gave. Look what he did.
Yeah.
This earth is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the heavens and space and all that, that's just like icing on the cake.
Yeah.
There's enough here we won't ever figure it out or use it all.
Right.
People keep telling us we're going to use up all the resources and ruin the world. That won't ever happen.
That ain't gonna happen.
It can't happen. They say we're messing it up with this, that, and the other. There's always some greed reason underneath it why they're telling you that.
Oh, yes.
But this is why we got to change the Freon in your car and in your air conditioner so you can buy a new one. Because
mm-hmm.
that one you got now is destroying the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. Well, we got you. So we see a lot of motivations. The Bible tells us the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Mm-hmm.
But God has overflowing grace. In other words, no matter what transgressions man continues to pile on top of the ones he already has, God has more grace than men have sin. He has more kindness than they have evil.
Yes, he does.
He has everything good more than they have wickedness.
Yes.
Of every stripe. So he keeps putting up with it because he's not against them and he never changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God cannot change.
Right. That's right.
There's nothing to change. He's perfect.
Yes.
He has no flaws. There's nothing missing. He's all that and all that. I'm not even going to put a bag of chips with it. He's just all that, period. Because he's God. So there's nothing to change. He's awesome. I think the word awesome should only be used to talk about God. Nothing else. We use it on everything. Oh, those potato chips were awesome. Now, God is awesome. You know, but we abuse the word. But God truly is awesome. Now, this is what God planned. He said, even though man sinned against me, I'm still going to bless him with overflowing grace. And he's still doing it right now, all these thousands of years later. And so notice this. Joel writes about it. This is a time before the coming of Christ. He says, it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. See, that's not just on Israel or just the Jews.
Right.
I'm going to pour it out on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. To prophesy means to speak God's word. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. See, he said, I'm going to make a change in the way I deal with people at some time. It will come to pass. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. So he says it's not going to make any difference, male or female. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh in those days. And he tells us the character of that time. The sun shall be turned into darkness, kind of like the eclipse that we seen not too long ago. And the moon into blood. We've been seeing that when the moon is starved of sunlight. For due to an ecliptical type of thing that it looks red like blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. So before this happens, you'll see these things. And it shall come to pass, notice this, that whosoever, that includes the whole human family, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be delivered.
Yes.
For in the Mount Zion, now here we go, back to God's special place on earth. Jerusalem has not only the capital of Israel, I believe it's God calls it the capital of the world. And that's why he only picked a little speck, so that it can blow everybody's mind why this little speck of real estate is so important.
Yes.
It's like, I don't need the big places on earth, the continents and all that, just give me a little strip. And it's the tiniest little bit of property almost on earth. It'll fit inside California multiple times. You know, if you look at it on the United States, it looks like the great, one of the Great Lakes is bigger than Israel. Just one of the lakes.
Wow.
It's amazing how small it is and how it's pivotal and it's right in the middle of the news all the time.
Yes.
So he says, he speaks of it here in verse 32, and in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The remnant is the small little piece that's left. Let's say we carpet this whole room. When we get through cutting it out and putting all the pieces in, there'll be some remnants left, just little pieces. God says, I'm only going to work with the little pieces. The big part of it is going to reject me. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
It's just going to be a remnant. A small little bit of the whole big thing that will be left, that will be saved. And it's going to all center on Jerusalem. There shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said. Now, what I want you to see here, this is not bad news. That kind of sounds like it could be bad news that Joel says. But the prophet Joel spoke of a time when God would allow his Holy Spirit to begin to overflow into all people from out of the Jews whom he had chosen, through whom he delivered his word and his son, Jesus the Christ.
Yes.
So that the knowledge of his salvation could be preached throughout the world to every nation as a result of this overflowing grace. That's what God was doing. He singled out a people for his own possession. He gave his word through those people.
Yes.
He cultivated 12 tribes through those people.
That's right.
He allowed them to go on right on up to the time that his son came forth out of those people. See? And they should have accepted him. But he came to his own, the Bible says, well, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, or the children of God, it really says, technoi, even those who believe on his name. See, so not even all of his own believed him. Only a remnant.
Wow.
See,
wow.
The people today who believe such as yourself, you are a remnant.
compared to all the people there are. Mm-hmm. How many people are in church this morning compared to how many are out doing other stuff? There are some people who even scorn the church.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, they wasting their time going in there trying to talk about they're going to worship God. And I'm over here on the golf course, or I'm out on the lake, or whatever. Enjoying God's creation, but rejecting God.
Yep.
See what I mean? So there's only a remnant. Don't feel bad if you're in the remnant. Somebody said, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. That's the song, because only going to be a number, a remnant, compared to other people who will reject the Lord.
Yes.
And it's never on God's end. This is what I want you to know. God is never rejecting you.
Right.
He loves you, accepts you just like you are. He knew there was nothing you could do about your situation. Nothing. So you know what? I'm going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John says. John 1:14, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's that overflowing grace.
Yes. Yes.
God says they have a problem, they can't fix it, I'm going to do it myself.
Yes.
So He took on flesh.
Yes.
He honored us by making us in His image, which was a spiritual image.
Yep. Amen.
Because we have spiritual characteristics about ourselves.
Yes, we do.
See, a lot of you, your personality, all that, the real you is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's housed in a body of flesh.
Yes.
See, God did that from the beginning when He formed Adam from the dust of the ground.
Right.
Says He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Living soul.
See that? So it was something invisible.
Yes.
Being breathed into something physical.
Yes.
And that was the image of God. Let us make man in our image.
Yes. Yes.
So that means we can think.
Right.
We can strategize. We can love. We can hate.
Follow.
We can enjoy, we can do all kinds of invisible things. We can sing, talk, you know, all kinds of stuff. All the invisible stuff is the spiritual stuff. Have you noticed that music is, that those pianos, these instruments are sitting here, not a sound's coming out of them. They don't do anything until somebody gets on there and then it fills the room with an invisible sound. And we can praise God because we hear the music. Or it can be used against God.
Yep.
You could have Black Sabbath on there and drive folks, crank them back to the wall and make them feel like they're about to pass out.
Yep.
You know, so it just depends, because music is a spiritual thing.
Yes, it is.
Among many things that are in the world.
Right.
See, love is invisible.
Yes, it is.
But it's the most powerful force in the universe.
Right.
God is love, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And He loves us even though we have transgressed His law.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at this now. I want you to see that it was through the Jews that God delivered His law, which included the sacrificial system, because of the fact that His law was always broken and never fully kept to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore required a substitute offering for each sinner who wanted to be declared righteous or in good standing with God. From year to year on the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. Look on your calendar. Guess what's coming up next? Yom Kippur.
Yep.
And the Jews are still practicing making us. They don't have a sacrifice though now. Let's back that train up. But let's just say this is the day when the high priest had to go in to the temple, which now does not exist. Hasn't been in existence for 2,000 years to make a sacrifice for the sin of the people.
Yep.
So the day keeps coming. But they have nowhere to exercise what God told them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had for 2,000 years. Is that amazing to you?
Yes.
Blows my mind. You don't have a place to go and sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have any sacrificial animals being offered. But you're practicing something that you say came from God, but it's not what He wrote in His book.
Right.
Now you're talking about, well, we better build one now after 2,000 years. Let's build that temple. Let's get the red heifer and sanctify the temple and go in and make a sacrifice, because we're realizing where you're way out of sync with what God's word says. But God's word really says you should receive my son because I sent him.
Yes.
And I wrote types and shadows about him over and over. Genesis 22 told Abraham, the father of the faithful, take your son, your only son who you love. Take him over there to Mount Moriah, which is really what we now call Jerusalem. Calvary, and lay your son there on the altar and take his life, Abraham, for a sacrifice, a burnt offering to me.
Yeah.
So the gospel story is repeated over and over and over in the Jewish word.
Over and over.
I call it the Jewish word because it was through the Jews that God gave the word. One Gentile writer in all the Bible, y'all know that, right? Mm-hmm. Only one Gentile's name is Dr. Luke.
Yep.
And he writes the Gospel of St. Luke and the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Only Gentile writer in the whole Bible.
Only.
And that was when God was transitioning to the period that Joel just told us about, that there will come a time when I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. See, so he said he was transitioning now to get the message of his goodness and his overflowing grace, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. So it went to a global mission. And in some sense, it always was. God never rejected a Gentile at any time.
Never.
Rahab got saved.
Yes, she did.
The harlot of Jericho.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ruth got saved, right? The Moabitess.
Yep.
Or Moabitess.
Moabitess.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, she was not of the covenant people. So many people we see. Tamar got saved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We could go on and on talking about people.
Yep.
Naaman the Syrian.
Yep.
All these people who came in contact with God's word, believed him, got saved. New Testament started to go out. They had to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth. The Ethiopian eunuch was saved out of Africa.
Yes.
And then also, of course, we know Cornelius the Italian was saved and a whole house full of people. And on and on and on, and the gospel has come all the way to me and you here in America.
Yeah.
And if you trust in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall be saved. So that's the good news. God's plan is finished and has been moving on for 2,000 years. Now the Jews are saying, oh, we haven't had a temple. Day of Atonement, let's build a temple. And they've been doing this every year with no sacrifice. Just like God said, it's written in his word. I wish we had time to tell you, but my time's about gone. I can show you the scripture where it says that they will go all this time with no king, no sacrifice,
yeah,
no temple, all of that.
No nothing.
It's been written in the word. They're doing everything God said they would do.
Mm-hmm.
See, meanwhile, his plan is moving on.
Yes.
If you're here today, you should be saved.
Yes.
We're giving you the command. God said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's not a request or a question. It's a command.
Right.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. See, so we command people to believe, and we don't make them do it. We just tell them this is what God wants you to do. And when you do it, God's going to do his part. He's going to fill you with his spirit. He's going to bless you with salvation. He's going to take away pressure and anxiety out of your life because, you know, I am the Lord your God and I have you. You're in my hand. I'm covering you. I bless you. You don't have anything to worry about from this time forward. So I'm giving you my son. If you receive him, then you will have everlasting life. Now let's get to one more thing, and this is going to come together for you, hopefully, right here. Notice what Paul says when he's writing to the church of Rome. He says, for as by one man's disobedience, who is that? Who is that one man's disobedience? Adam, okay. Many were made sinners. How many?
All
of them, right? So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. How many is that?
All that believe.
All that believe. Hello.
Yep.
Y'all awake in here. I think somebody woke up in here. So he said all were made sinners by one man, but as many as believe will be made righteous by one man.
Yes.
Moreover, the law entered. This is after Adam's transgression. That the offense might abound. That means that the offense might become greater because it went from one law to 10.
Yep.
Right.
And then they turned it into 523. And if you couldn't keep one, you can't keep 10. How are you going to keep 523? So he said, in order that the offense may abound, that sin may abound, but when sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Oh, yes.
God has more grace than you have sin.
Yes.
That sin, he says, notice verse 21, Romans 5 and 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
See that? So Jesus Christ is righteousness to the ones who trust him. You believe him, righteousness is abounding to you.
Yes.
It's overflowing to you.
Yes.
You don't have more sin than he has righteousness.
Thank you, God.
He's got more righteousness than you have sin.
Yes.
He covers
delivers you from the guttermost to the uttermost. You believe him, you do not have to worry about anything. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to be crucified, buried, and risen. That's what we call the gospel. In order to provide the whole world with a perfect sacrifice that satisfied him entirely on behalf of not only the believing Jews, his chosen people, but also to provide overflowing grace to every believing Gentile as well throughout the remaining time until his second coming.
Amen.
Wow. And his second coming is the next thing on God's calendar.
Wow, right.
So as we see all this stuff setting up with people who don't believe, and God already told you exactly what they were going to do. You can look right here, blow by blow, building the temple, the red heifer, Donald Trump on the coin, all that stuff is happening. They don't even realize they're working against God.
That's right.
And they're going to, the Antichrist is going to come into that atmosphere, that unbelieving atmosphere. It's all written in the Word.
Yes, it is.
And he's going to set up himself and show false signs and lying wonders to deceive people who don't believe Christ.
Lying wonders.
See what I'm saying? Into thinking that he is the Christ, the Messiah.
Yes, Lord.
And he's going to get in the temple that they're building right now.
Right.
And tell the whole world that he is God.
Wow.
And the world's going to believe him, a good portion of it. The only ones who won't believe him are you who have heard the gospel and know that Jesus has already come.
Yeah.
That he is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the one with the solution to death. The Bible even says that this false Antichrist is probably going to fake a resurrection some kind of way and show people to make them think he rose from the dead. So you can be looking for all of this, church. It will come to pass. It's been written before we were born. Nobody in this room was born and all this was written down. But God's overflowing grace is still available for you. And we hope that you trust him and believe him. If you do, that's how you get saved. Last week we talked about abiding in the present of victory. God has already given you victory. You have victory right now if you trust Jesus Christ. So you know what? You don't let circumstances, conditions, the news, threats of different kinds of stuff, not even health threats or anything, trouble you. Well, you know why? Because right now, if you trust Jesus, you have the victory. There's nothing that can change your destiny.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there's nothing that can separate you from God's love. So we want to offer salvation to you. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, we invite you to come right now. Do it right now. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. God accepts you. And if you don't have that proper relationship with him, it's not his fault. He loves you just like you are. And he doesn't require you to change anything to come, except change your mind about where you stand with God. Let him know you believe what he said, what he has published in his word. The Bible is the most accurate document in the history, in the world, in the universe.
Amen.
Now, you know, these folks here, some folks wrote a book, Brother Michael brought in this morning, talking about we don't know what happened, but we know time started and all that. You know what they said is you believe Moses because that's what Moses told you, but you just said any time before that, oh, it has no meaning. That's what they said. So are you kidding me? The meaning is God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son, and he created this for you. And if you want to know you're saved, just stand up right where you are. We'll pray with you right now. God will accept you into his kingdom. Doesn't make any difference how old you are, how young you are. If you trust him and believe his word, stand on your feet right now. Even if you're saved, let me ask y'all stand on your feet too. The folks that saved. All right now. And let's ask God to let that overflowing grace continue in our lives. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. Thank you for your overflowing grace, Father. We see it just cascading like a waterfall, oh God.
Yes.
Come in.
coming into our lives, Lord, washing our minds, cleansing our thoughts, cleansing our bodies, oh God, making us whole, washing away sin, Lord God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for favor. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for guidance. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for all those good things that you continue to pour out on your children. You said that you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh. Now your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and we shall sing songs of praise of Zion, and that we would just feel your grace and have visions and dreams. And Father, we thank you for your spirit. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for every person that's calling on Jesus right now in their spirit in order to be saved. I thank you for my friend out in Colorado, Mr. Olson, Jim Olson. Touch his life, his house, his mind, his body, oh God. Give him everything he needs. Father, we thank you for all those who have written in. Some people have written letters and said that they need your overflowing grace. And so, Father, we pray you give it right now. Bless them right now, Lord. Let them know you will never leave them nor forsake them. You are very present help in the time of need. Look over the Fritz family, oh God. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Let there be harmony and peace in their household, Lord God. We bless you and we give you praise. Look over the Carruthers family, Lord God. We ask you to bless them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray for wholeness and everything for all these who are in the room, Lord God. Bless them and give them your spirit, Lord. Let it overflow and flow as a river, Lord God. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Look over all the families that are represented here today. Adams, oh God. Any of them in the house, Lord God, who have a need of a special blessing. You know us all by name, Lord God. We all need you for one thing or another. And we ask you to bless the children that are in the room today, Lord. Bless the elderly in the room today, Lord. Bless them with overflowing grace and mercy. We ask this to the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ. Let nobody leave the room that is not sure that they're saved today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask this, Lord God. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. The church said together, amen. Amen. We want to ask that if anyone's here that would like to be a member, we all open this door for membership to St. Timothy MB Church, that you may come at this time. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. We'll call for Sister Loretta.